Great. So Rob's done his best to put my introduction into... So I am Duncan Baird. I am 28 years old. I'm currently living in Dunblane and have done all my life. I am a son and I'm a brother. I'm an employee and I'm a colleague. I'm an Aberdeen fan. I am an amateur footballer, very amateur footballer. I am Dunk the Hunk to my work colleagues. They coined it, not me. I'm a crisp enthusiast. I'm a University of Edinburgh graduate. I'm a Scotland sports supporter and sufferer. I am quite often nervously quiet, but I'm more so quietly confident. I'm a role model, and I'm a bad example. I'm a follower, and I'm sometimes a leader. I'm a listener, and occasionally a talker. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a regular speaker, so if you want to leave now, I wouldn't be too offended. I am messed up, but I am still loved, and I'm a filthy sinner saved by glorious grace. That's a little bit about who I am. Tonight, that pales into insignificance on who we're actually looking at, the claims of Jesus, the man I'm sharing the stage with tonight. He made some pretty bold claims in his life. You thought Dunk the Hunk was a big claim. This book is full of claims that astounded the people of his time. C.S. Lewis, the great C.S. Lewis, claimed in his book Mere Christianity that based on these claims, Jesus was either a lunatic, he was a liar, or he was indeed Lord, that he claimed. Over the next few weeks, I believe we're going to look at these different I am statements of Jesus. I wonder if you have a favorite inventor. I know I do. He's a man I claimed to my primary school classmates was my great-great-great-grandfather. He invented the television. He was, of course, John Logie Baird. I don't think we're actually related, but it's nice to dream. I would love to discover something. Imagine that moment, that eureka moment, when something new comes into being, something that has never existed before, having that light bulb moment. Thomas Edison in the 1880s literally had this light bulb moment. Using previous works from Volta and Davy, he was able to produce a light source that was commercial and viable, meaning that light was accessible to all. The I Am we're hopefully going to illuminate a little this evening can be found in John 8, 12 to 20. So if you've got your Bibles, feel free to turn to John 8. Look, it's on the screen as well if you don't. So John 8, 12 to 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for himself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So we're talking about kind of Jesus being the light of the world. Light is probably something we take for granted. We just flip a switch and it happens. In Scotland, we sometimes see a big light in the sky. Sometimes. Light has many uses. Light is a biological catalyst. Light is a guiding mechanism. Light allows you to tan your body, naturally and superficially. Light can provide heat. Light reveals things. Light can transform. The right light can make your selfie look better. So Dave, when you set up that SVC Instagram account, you'll be grand. I once asked Siri if he could ask Google if he had anything to light a candle. The results came back as no matches found. I also once remember seeing something on social media about how many university students of a certain Scottish university does it take to change a light bulb. I googled it and picked out a couple of my favourites. So how many St Andrews University students does it take to change a light bulb? Apparently it's two, one to call the electrician and one to get daddy to pay for it all. How many university students from Napier does it take to change a light bulb? Apparently one, just one, but he gets 10 course credits for it. Apologies if you studied at Napier. And then it came to Stirling, and apparently it's none because Stirling looks better in the dark, which I thought was a bit harsh. It's a lovely campus. Light is not a new thing. That won't surprise many of you. As early as Genesis chapter 1, God commanded for there to be light, and there was. He then commanded lights to separate day and night, the sun and the moon. Even in the dark of night, God made sure there was a source of light. I'd like to just focus on three kind of aspects of light and expand a wee bit on them. So light guides. Light guides. Cavemen would use fire to guide their way through dark caves. Miners would use head torches to find their way through the dark, rocky corridors of work. Headlights on cars are legal safety requirements. Light illuminates a path to follow. It highlights a way to go. When Jesus comes and says, "I am the light of the world," he continues by saying, "Follow me and you'll have light that leads to life." A light doesn't cause you to stumble and fall. A light gives guidance and direction. Light also transforms. I recently read about a restaurant that has just opened in London where it's pitch black throughout. You go, you're guided down by waiters, you're sat at a table, and it's pitch black. This is a busy Saturday night. There we go. That's what it looks like. The thoughts behind it, it's supposed to enhance your other senses. It's supposed to make you reevaluate the sense of taste and smell. I'm no health and safety guy, but there's probably a couple things wrong with that. This restaurant claims that by eating, spending time in darkness enhances the experience somehow. Jesus says that's not the case. Jesus says living in the light gives you life in all its fullness. It gives you a different perspective. Stay away from the dark. That's where the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Light also gives life. I'm not sure if you can remember back to your science lessons in school. The whole process of photosynthesis. That's where, as you'll remember, the light energy from the sun is trapped by the chlorophyll and the chloroplasts. Then the carbon dioxide from the leaves and the water from the roots combine, and some planty magic happens, and oxygen is released into the atmosphere. All coming back to you now? Yeah, thought it might. The light triggers the process. Without it, this life-giving process just wouldn't happen, and the plant would live a sad existence. So light can give life. If there is no light, there is no real life. Some of you may have heard of a Northern Irish gentleman called Professor John Lennox. Mr. Lennox is a very clever man. He's a maths professor at Oxford University and one of the most revered apologists of the modern day. I've had the opportunity to hear him a couple times, and the way he answers questions of God's existence is almost poetic at times. He does it very well. He often debates with the world's leading atheists, and one response he gave to Stephen Hawking's accusation that religion is a fairy story for those afraid of the dark was that atheism is a fairy story for those afraid of the light. So is this light that Jesus brings, is it something we should be afraid of? Is it a scary prospect? I would argue that the Pharisees in this passage were probably scared of the light. This light that Jesus came, until Jesus came, they were doing okay. They were seen as the wise ones, the people that knew their scriptures, people would go to. But when Jesus came and declared, "I am the light of the world," this light would expose them, just like it exposes us. We see through Jesus how we should be living. He's the creator and perfecter of our faith. But in comparison, it reveals us as sinful and unworthy to be in relationship with God. But the light that he brings, this is a light of power and a redeeming light. Light and darkness are in a constant battle. You cannot have both. Either there is darkness or there is light. But if they're both trying to exist, light always wins. Always. Darkness is the absence of light, but light isn't the absence of darkness. Light is just the presence of light. There is always the potential for darkness, but the light has victory over darkness. That's in a physical sense. It's the same in the spiritual realm. There's always the potential for us to live in darkness through sin, but there is a power and authority through the light of Jesus that has ultimate victory. Darkness cannot understand it. Darkness cannot extinguish it. Darkness cannot overcome it. What a powerful and victorious light. If I was to list my top five movies of all time, I reckon at least four of them would be based on American sports, basketball or American football. One is a movie called Coach Carter. Anyone seen Coach Carter? Yeah, great. Brief synopsis for those who haven't. Samuel L. Jackson is the coach of a local high school basketball team in a disadvantaged area of town. The guys in his team only really have basketball. That's what they live for. But Samuel L. Jackson wants them to take an education out of high school so they don't end up in the wrong crowd, in prison, etc. There's one guy that just wants to play basketball. He's not having this new regime. And throughout the movie, Samuel L. Jackson keeps asking him, "What is your greatest fear?" I'd like to share with you his response and then take a couple points from it.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. Sir, I just want to say thank you. You saved my life.
Great, good stuff. Gets me every time. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. This light is not something we should be scared of, but it gives us a responsibility, which is quite a daunting responsibility. As Christians, we are called into dark situations. These are right beside us, in our workplace, in our family, in our neighborhoods. Sometimes we might think it's too dark and not sure what we can do about it. But when we do that, we limit Jesus. Of course, it's not up to us. We are carriers of this light. Jesus does the rest. And we're called to manifest, to reveal, to make visible, to evidence the glory of God that is within us. And when we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. When we take Jesus into these dark situations, we are proclaiming that there is a hope in the light. The darkness does not have the final say. There is light at the end of the tunnel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. We've all come from different weeks, from different situations, and we're going into different weeks and different situations. It may be a week that you're looking forward to, but maybe one that you're dreading, one that seems hopeless, that darkness surrounds every aspect of it. I encourage you, if that's the case, not to leave here without speaking to someone about it. This light that Jesus offers is available to all. You might be sitting there able to relate to the Pharisees' fears. There's stuff in your life that, if exposed to the light, is embarrassing. Jesus says, bring it out to light. There's no life in the darkness. And you might have people around you that are struggling in the darkness, and you know the only way to help them is to bring this light. But you're not sure what you can really do. Jesus asks us to be witnesses of this light, to be obedient and to be bold and to go. Just in closing, in our inner battles, our lack of confidence, our depleted self-belief, our uncertainty, isn't it great that we have a Savior who knows exactly who he is, exactly why he exists, and knows that he walks in victory over darkness? Just as the band come back up, can we just pray together? Father, thank you for this light. Thank you that it is a powerful and victorious light. Thank you that it is a light that is available to all. Lord, as we sing these songs and take communion, would you open our eyes to the areas of our lives and darkness that need to be exposed to light? And open our eyes to the situations around us of darkness that need the light taken into them. Lord, you did not give us a spirit of timidity and fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Would you lift us from our laziness and keep us from our cowardice? And as we let the light of Jesus shine, would that allow the people around us to do the same? We ask these things in the power of Jesus' name.